Are we able to project anything up here from off our phones? If we have pictures? Somebody said no. Okay. I was just wondering if Anna had a picture of all of them gathered together out front in Rentobo. You could send it to, who could you send it to? Do I? So Anna's. This is something we'd want to show in a little bit, if we're able. Yeah, we will. I was just going to start there. I wanted to start with confusion before we end. That's my forte. Let me create a little confusion, and then we'll go from there. Did you find the picture? Come on up, Anna. We need a microphone for Anna. I knew that we would have, there were some people who were going to be gone this weekend. It'll be even more so next weekend because it's Memorial Day. And I didn't want to wait 3 weeks to share some of the stories. And two of the people on the team from the church here, Roxanne and Ron, aren't here. But I just felt like Anna and I could do it. We'd go for it and tell some stories about Africa just to encourage your faith. Remember that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And whenever you share a testimony about something Christ has done, it becomes a prophetic word for other people to hear so they can have faith for the same kind of thing. Children's Church, do I need to wait a second for that too? Because Andrew's doing that. You can come here and then... Lord, bless these little ones. Raise them up to be love sick followers of Christ. Amen. It's Cinderella and her crew. It also says in the Psalm 119 that his testimonies are our inheritance. And so it's important that we share a testimony. And this is the first, I mentioned this before, and I've talked about this in Africa. This was the first time I've ever gone on a trip to Africa where I knew that we were carrying a breakthrough that was here to impact them. Every time I've ever gone over there, you walk into a breakthrough, and then I pray that I can bring that back here. But again, this is the first time I've ever taken something that was happening here. Just this boldness that God's releasing in people and the kind of signs and wonders that we're seeing and carrying it to Africa to impact them. And it really was a significant issue that we brought into. And one of the things that I was so proud of as we talked to our team, there were three people who had never been before, two ladies from Georgia, and then your aunt, TC's sister, Debbie. There ended up being 14 the last part of the trip. There were 10 the first part. If I were to say the two things that would title this trip, there were 10 women and 4 guys. So it would have been miracles and bathroom breaks. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Anna's is the hero because she has like an iron bladder. And I was like, Anna, go around and pray for all these other people. And bathroom breaks take forever in Africa because it's not like you go into a public restroom with like 10 stalls. And it was amazing. We left our hotel in Bali one day, and we made it 3 miles and had to all pile out of the bus to go to the bathroom. It was unbelievable. And the last day that we were there before we left was Mother's Day, and Karen gave this big Mother's Day surprise for all the women that were there, the 10 of them. Gave them a card, a cake. It's really awesome. And then at the end, I told them, we also have a special gift that I'm personally offering each of you that Karen doesn't even know about. It's a gift certificate to the gynecologist of your choice to have a bladder tacking surgery when you get back to the States, if you want to come next year. I've never seen anything like it. And then Dan Witt was as bad as the girls. He was So it was incredible. there were a lot of bathroom breaks, weren't there? Every hour. But I was really proud of the team because everywhere they went, they just walked in boldness. And the first person I prayed for was the one in the little plane from Montgomery to Atlanta. They prayed for people in all the hotels, any little stores that we would go into, where we'd stop to get gas, all the multiple bathroom breaks. That's the one thing. Maybe it was God, because we had lots of chances to witness to people because of all the bathroom breaks. And Ann and I just sat in the bus and prayed for them to hurry up. But the boldness was incredible. I'll tell you a few of those stories as we go along. But Anna, you want to tell some stories? Even though Anna came for the second part of the trip, but you want to tell some stories, things you remember? Okay. That's how they started. Stick around, because we may think of some more. Not only did we see a lot of just healings, but we saw signs and wonders. We saw the gift of miracles manifest itself, too. You want to tell the story about your aunt, Debbie, and the oil? They were all given little vials of oil, clear vials of oil, and she was very generous in using her oil. So tell the story. And then the other 2 days, she used it and used it generously the other 2 days, but it never would go down. And after it filled back up the first day, the next 2 days, no matter how much oil she used, it would never go down. It stayed full the whole time. Isn't that crazy? That's awesome. Debbie also was Bill the Spirit on the trip. That was we weren't even praying for it. We were just praying for other people, and it happened. I tried to go on Bishop Gogo today. There was a lady Anna wasn't there, that we met at their house, a 14-year-old girl who had been raped the year before, and she couldn't care for her baby because she was still like in shock, had really done some damage. Her mother was there helping, but our ladies prayed for her for about 30 or 40 minutes, and there was a real breakthrough. So I'm really curious as to see how that turned out. Another cool miracle in Rentobo is you never know. When I go there, I never know what's going to happen. I think I was originally supposed to speak 3 times. I ended up speaking 5 times. We also got to minister to all the clergy. But the second time I spoke was during the day. And this is a conference for 40,000 people. And over a 5-day period. So every day there was about 8,000 to 10,000 people there. And we brought them all down front, or many who wanted to come, about healing. And the team just began to get words of knowledge. And to give you a little story, and I've told some of you this story, so bear with me. That part of Uganda is where Idi Amin persecuted the most. because there was a bishop there that was threatening to him. And so he just really persecuted the people. And the universal language, they can all speak their tribal language, and the most of them can speak English, not all of them. But their universal language and legal language is Swahili, which is true for almost all of East Africa. But when Idi Amin's troops would come, they would announce their arrival, they were going to rest or whatever in Swahili. And the result of it is, this is back in the 70s, there's a whole tribal people there that won't speak Swahili, and they refuse to teach their children Swahili. So there are people at this conference, which is in western Uganda, who can speak Swahili, but there's also a group that couldn't speak Swahili at all. And all the interpreters were interpreting in Swahili. Now, I didn't know all this story until afterwards, but anyway, we were given words of knowledge, and we began to pray for people. And I just began to pray in tongues for them for a few minutes. And we saw, golly, I don't know, several thousand people get healed. But later that day, it was reported to me, the language that the people who don't speak Swahili, they speak Otoro. But anyway, later that day I was told that four different times when I was praying in tongues, I spoke in perfect Otoro, "Lord, heal these people. Lord, heal these people. Lord, heal these people. Lord, heal these people." Because they weren't able to understand anything that was being said, even through the interpreter. But they understood me say, "Lord, heal these people. Lord, heal these people," four times. That was cool. We had one in the first part of the trip, Joy from Georgia and a girl named Wendy, who's been on our team before. They prayed for someone who was blind, whose eyes were white, and they watched her eyes turn brown. We had so many, many people who either had hardly any sight at all get healed, blindness issues and deafness issues, just extraordinary amount of people get healed that way. Just, it was crazy. There was a hotel that we stayed at. Again, every place we went, we prayed for the people. Every hotel, we were like this army, like army ants going throughout the hotel. The first hotel we're at, I got to pray for the guy who was one of the worked behind the desk. He got healed. But it was amazing what God was doing. But this other hotel in Jinja, called the Source of the Nile, we just began to pray for some of the employees. And by the time we got through, the entire staff of the hotel, it's a pretty large hotel, the whole staff came out into the kitchen or into the restaurant area we were at. And they all came out to get prayer. Even the point, I see this guy, this weird hat, and it's the chef coming out of the kitchen because he's hearing people are getting healed. He wants to come out. Now, the only person who didn't come to get healed was the manager. And the manager was in his office, and he stuck out head in the door into the restaurant. And I said, "So we're just praying for these people to be healed. Hope that's okay." He said, "Oh, yeah. But he went and snuck back in his office. We scared him. But every one of them got healed who need healing. Everyone who needed to be baptized in the Spirit were baptized in the Spirit. And one of them got saved, gave their life to Christ. And that was the whole staff of the hotel. It was that kind of trip. If we would stop and go into, if they had to stop to go to the bathroom, we'd go in the little stores. You could buy, like, peanuts and things like that. And we'd pray for people who, I was walking out of the door, and the Lord said, "Why don't you go back there and pray for that people?" Lady asked that lady, she needs prayer. So I thought, oh, wow, yeah. So I went back in, asked her for prayer. She had some issues with her back and something else, but she got healed. So when I walked back to the bus, I told the team, "God, I almost missed an opportunity. We had to keep our eyes open, sniff out, you know, demonic oppression, and Jesus, they knew something about it." And like two or three others said, "Oh, yeah, we went back in there too, but you'd already prayed for her and she'd gotten healed." Because they went back too to follow up. And that's the way the team was. Now, my prayer is that we'll get to go again. And my prayer is that some of you will get to go. That there'll be more of us and I can take 20 or 30 people. Because not only does it impact their lives in profound ways, it's like learning how to fish in a catfish pond that's an acre that has a million catfish in it. I mean, and they haven't eaten in 2 weeks. It's just so easy to pray for them, and it helps release your faith to come back home and pray for others. That's the thing that we really spoke into our team, is that this isn't just about you experiencing Africa. I don't want you just to fall in love with Africa. I want you to fall in love with people getting healed, people being transformed. I said, because Africa is much richer that way than we are in the West. And so we're seeing breakthrough. We want to see more breakthrough. What are some other stuff? Remember? Anything else? Gosh, and it's impossible to list. And I quit trying to figure out how many people got healed. I don't have a clue. I prayed for, just personally, not just in the crowd, I prayed for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And I think I only saw five people who didn't get healed. Now, that haunts me, because I want more breakthrough to see that manifested, because as a person in Christ, I should see a same Christ-like level of people being healed. But it was really amazing what God did. Is it something? Can you see that, y'all? Is it hard? Can we turn those lights off? That'll help. It does make a difference. No, I'll explain it to you. The tents in the back there, like the stage is up here, and the tents, and they go all the way around, and that's where the people would sit to get out from under the sun. I guess we're not that far from the equator, so it's really, you can get burned really bad. It's not very hot, you just get burned really bad. And also for the rain, and we had some rain. But what they've done, there's the stage up here, and they've all come filing out of those tents. So there's just thousands and thousands of them out there in this big field where they'd come and receive ministry. Now, behind those tents on the other side, we asked them last year, and they said, what can we do to make it better? We said, we'd like the tent to be twice as big. And so, of course, the tent was twice as small. but we, the team was just crazy. They were so wonderful. They worked really hard. They just would go and stand against a wall outside, because there's no room for us all in the tent. Eventually, we got to get into some cinder block building, but it wasn't very big either, because it rained a bunch. But our team, at one point, they were all squeezed in that tent, and we were praying for hundreds of people. And every day for several hours. And it rained so hard, it was standing water coming under us, washing. Man, nobody flinched. They just kept praying for people, and people just kept getting healed. People standing in line, they just kept standing in line for prayer, for healing. One of the cool things, those of you who know Bishop Gogo very well, when we went to his house, his wife Mabel, who's an amazing African cook, she had to get help to cook for us because she had been hit with malaria pretty bad, and she had a really terrible headache and the other things that go with it, so she couldn't help. And so they asked us if we could pray for her. Now, being dense as we were, we waited till the end of the evening to pray for her. It would have been much nicer if we had prayed for her at the beginning of the evening so she could have enjoyed the evening. But anyway, she got healed. And it was just like that everywhere we went. She even texted us when we were on the other side of the country that a friend of hers, you remember that, Anna? She texted us that she had a friend who had influenza, which can kill you really easy over there. And when we prayed, so we just, I don't know if it was Ron's phone, I just said, just text us back. They texted back this prayer, just sent it to her. And so they did, and in just a while she wrote back that she was healed. The lady with influence field. So we It was pretty incredible what God did. So of all the trips that we go on, every time we do one of these trips, it's always amazing. So I can't say that this was different, but it was. How things can get more amazing, I don't know, but they do. And how many of you, because I know we don't have a lot of us aren't here, how many of you over the years, you have to raise your hand up high, been to Africa? Yeah. There's a bunch. Look at all that. Over there, Steve. And God willing, we'll keep going. And a good thing, I haven't got a chance to talk to Rector's Council, but the guy who puts on the conference, his name is Maydad Burungi. And Maydad is one of the leaders of the charismatic movement in all the continent of Africa and a real player in the world in terms of as a charismatic leader. He's an Anglican priest who retired as a priest last year. And many of those in his denomination just gave him a hard time over the years, but they couldn't do much with him because he has such clout. And so where we did that conference, that was at a school, really neat school and that he owns that he for poor kids to go through. And he's got like, anyway, he's an amazing guy. And respected all over the world. He's in the States because his son got married yesterday in Atlanta. And so I got a letter from him. He would love to come and wants to share in some of the churches. And so I'm going to look at getting him to come, if not next week because it's Labor Day, being Memorial Day, but maybe the next weekend that Maydad will get to come. And Anna can testify. He's an amazing man of God. And he... that would be fun, huh? Maydad Burungi. He's got, in Kampala, he has 32 churches, home churches, that he's birthed. And he, really, really neat guy. But he begs us, he says, he wants us to come back every year. And he honored this group as this team that we took. Last year was our first time to go there. And he honored this team as like they were the, they were the big attraction, was this group. And all the publication and all the stuff. And so it was really cool. Any questions anybody have? The bus was wonderful. Yeah. As healing for the nations. Yeah. Yeah, we actually we led a lot of Muslims to Christ. What we do is we did this years ago in Jinja. I think I've told the story before. We were in this little bitty place, and these six ladies with the burqa thing came on. They came to the meeting because they thought we were a medical clinic because they heard people were getting healed, and they were all sick. And so the way we approached it was the way Jesus did. We didn't do the sermon thing first. We just went over there and prayed for them. They all got healed. They all gave their lives to Jesus. But here, we had, because the Muslims will come because they know that God's doing something. They know it's real. They want to get healed. And so they'll come and they'll get healed. And when they do, then we lead them to Christ. They already met him. We get to make it more formal for them. And there was one young girl who had given her life to Christ. I got to pray for her the next day. We also had people come to us from last year just to thank us for their healing and how they were still doing really well. The other thing that we did this year was really interesting. This is up in the mountains, beautiful area. And just like in America, the more mountainous the regions can be, often, especially in rural South and different places, you'll have more superstition, all, you know, weird stuff going on. And that's true in Africa. And so a lot of the beliefs and crazy things and also real stuff, like a lot of witchcraft, that kind of stuff goes on in those mountainous areas. And so last year, it was just so much conversation about the demonic and witchcraft. Almost every person we prayed for, there was some kind of curse by witch doctors and all that kind of jazz. And so the very first day, the very first night when I spoke, we just, those of you who have been after with me, there's a prayer I pray over there about binding some stuff up. And there was a marked difference this year from the demonic manifestation and activity. We just took authority over that and just said, look, we're not going to be demon focused here. We're not here to focus on the devil. And charismatics do too much of that. And I said, this is about Jesus. And I said, you know, I don't want to, only thing, I'm like Bill Johnson. The only time I want to focus on the devil is when I'm putting in my crosshairs. That's all the attention he deserves. And, but it was awesome. And so the hard part is so many people got healed, it's impossible for me to tell you all the stories. I mean, just think about sitting, and we got everybody where they sat this year in a chair, and somebody was just sitting in their chair. And we'd pray for them, and whatever was going on, you know, if you could, something they could tell. We had, you know, again, stomach show down, other things could disappear. You know, their eyes would open up, they could see. They could hear, pain was go away, stuff was, and then you'd pray for them, and they'd get healed, and they'd get up and go, and patient next, and you'd pray for them, and then they get healed, and they go, next, you pray for them, they get healed, and they go, next, and the line just goes on, and it's just like that, and it's shocking when one of them doesn't get healed, and when they don't get healed, most of the time, 99% of the time, people just keep going after it. It's just a demonic spirit of affliction. It just moves around. And sometimes you have to chase it down a little bit. And this is a fun story. When all of them were out in the field like that one time worshiping, that's on video. The girls from Georgia have it on video. They pray for this girl. I guess she's a teenage girl, young teenage girl, Anna, do you remember? And anyway, she was cross-eyed. Had been that way all of her life, and I prayed for her, and we have a video of her eyes straightening out. And then the next day, there was a youth thing, and this young girl sharing her testimony about how her sister had been cross-eyed. That was who she was talking about, and she had gotten healed. That was the next day. So it wasn't like she was, it wasn't just like she was, do I? Yeah, we had, and those of you who sewed into this, thank you so much. It certainly wasn't a requirement. It's not something I like to do. You do so much, but God really honored that in terms of just some things we were able to do. But we had 7 bishops come and clergy come too. And that was a big deal because they helped us work hard, and it gives them great credibility. In the eyes of all those people, because they see all these guys here, and it's really a powerful thing for them. It changes their lives. Okay, I feel like I'm not doing a very good job, but Anna looks normal. I don't know if I look normal, but I'm not normal yet, so my mind is not quite normal. Okay, no more questions? The conference would start at 6:30 in the morning and go to midnight. So we had to pick and choose the times we go because we worked harder than anybody else. Because we were the ones going at it one-on-one praying for people. And so we would go mid-morning, late morning, and then stay until, you know, until we got through. They would do their lunch thing. That's a relative term, but they would do their lunch thing in the afternoon, but two days, we skipped the lunch because we just want to keep praying for people. And they came over and begged us, said, "Will you, Neil, please come eat lunch with us?" I said, "No, we're good." Now, one day they saved us some food, but we just wanted to get stuff done. There were too many people. I mean, the line for people getting prayer was to keep going out forever, but we just did the work. But you'd be really proud of them. Anna's like a warrior. She never complains. She just goes for it. And in her hard circumstances, but she just doesn't complain. Exercises boldness and authority in the Lord. She saw a lot of people. She got to pray with me a little bit. Dan and Deborah Witt, who from North Carolina, he's my canon healer. His role is for us in the diocese is teaching people how to pray for the sick. But they're famous. He and Deborah are famous for just taking forever. because they like to train people that are gone forever and ever. And like one of the great phrases, Dan and Deborah, the bus is about to leave. Dan and Deborah, the bus is about to leave. And they just go on forever. And they're great, but they're just... So their granddaughter, Hannah, she's 19, she prayed with me the most of one day. And I got tickled with her when he got through praying with me. I said, so Hannah, I'm a little bit different than your grandparents. I said, I'm the express lane. And she said, I loved it. I thought, I'm sure you did. But it was awesome. Thank you so much. And it's hard to believe that I'm there, we're there, and we're back again. So we're praying. I'm trying to talk Maydad into changing the conference to 2 weeks later so that the school will be out, so that more people want to go, they can go. It's really awesome. So it's really cool to go over there and carry momentum, then go there and just reinforce that momentum, bring it back here. And so in light of all that, too, and just to let you know, he and I will be visiting this week, but David Emfinger, the famous street evangelist himself, David has said yes to overseeing our outreach ministry here and helping train people out to go into the streets, out into the stores, and to share the gospel. And the gospel means more than just praying the prayer to get saved. The gospel of the kingdom's here, that Jesus has come to make you whole. And we'll meet this week in work over some more details. That's one of the reasons he's raising some money to go up to Global for a 3-week intensive. And so anybody who wants to sow into that, we'll share more of that next week. If you want to sow into that, and we will, and just to help him. But anyway, he's going to be overseeing our outreach stuff, and that's going to be really awesome. So he'll be tapping some of you on the shoulders, and we'll be organizing more groups going out like we have before. And I want to see the same percentage of people healed in Selma that we saw in Africa. The best way, we're seeing real favor here. The best way to handle favor is to respect it. Don't take it for granted. And then ask for more favor. You with me? There's a momentum that we want to keep going. I'll share this one little word with you. And that's so funny, me using the phone to do stuff. This is the word jurisdiction. It says it's the official power to make legal decisions and judgments. Here are some synonyms: authority, control, power, dominion, rule, administration, command, sway, leadership, sovereignty, ascendancy, a word I can't pronounce, mastery, you have the say or influence. The story that Bracken read from Luke chapter 7, I spoke about a little bit this week, but I just want to remind you this scripture. This is like a noon sermon. And that all of us have read this before, and about the centurion slave who was close to death. And when the word is sent to the disciples about this, they knew of him and said, he built our synagogue, and he's worthy of you coming to his house to pray for a slave. And so while he's on the way, of course, the centurion sends the word and said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. He said, but I'm a man under authority, just like you're under authority. And I tell people, do this, they do this, do this, they do this. And he said, if you'll just say the word, you don't need to bother to come to the house. He said, just say the word, and my slave will be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. But of course, the boy was healed. And the thing that I've been thinking about a lot when I was in Africa is this issue of authority. Is that God has given us authority. Because we're in Christ, we have his authority. We have his name, which means we have his ability. We also have his authority. But the word that's been ringing in my ear recently is what authority represents. You could say authority means you have the right, but I like the word jurisdiction. That you have jurisdiction And whatever whatever realm you've been given authority, you have jurisdiction there. You're the one who has the say about what's going to happen, what's going to be, what's allowed, what's not allowed in this situation. You with me? Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. And I often prayed for people because most of the people we pray for there do have a spirit of affliction. And I'll bind the spirit of affliction off of them in Jesus' name. Because I have His name, so I'm in union with Him. I have His jurisdiction over that realm. I'm the one who has the say as to whether that spirit can stay or not stay. And so I bind that spirit off of them and I loose, in Jesus' name, healing and wholeness, whatever the situation is. Not any more complicated than that. And saw people get healed after person after person after person. And I love what he says here. Well, we have an often a tendency in the West to emphasize the fact that Jesus had authority because he was under authority. Just like that Roman centurion had authority because he was under authority. And that's true. If you don't walk under his authority, if you're not yielded, then you're not even able to manifest your union. But the bottom line is, he said, I'm a man under authority, and I have people under me. And when I say do this and do this and do this and do this, they have to do it. And here is for you and me, is that we have jurisdiction when it comes to human brokenness, where there's the oppression of the enemy. We have the say. We have jurisdiction over that. The enemy doesn't. You with me? We have jurisdiction over that sickness. We have jurisdiction over that situation. We have jurisdiction over that circumstance. When Jesus spoke to the storm, he was exercising jurisdiction over nature. And so when you add an understanding of authority, jurisdiction, and you mix that with boldness, faith, I love that song, that last song that we sang. When I open my mouth, miracles happen. When I open my mouth, miracles happen. Not just when I pray into something. That prepares the way. But when I open my mouth, miracles happen. And so just to emphasize again, that's one of the things that God has been speaking to us lately, is about boldly going out and exercising the jurisdiction that we have. The enemy has none. Jesus said in Matthew 28 that all authority has been given him. Not some, not most. He said all. And if he has all the authority, the enemy has none. He has power, but he doesn't have authority. And you and I have jurisdiction over whether he can exercise any of that power in the situation. That's just the truth. If we're in union with Christ, go back and read the story. You've been placed into his story and into his life so that he can now tell his life story through your life story and live his life through your life. That's Christianity. If I have his name, I don't want to misrepresent who he is. And we're called to go out into the world, keep our eyes open, sniff out demonic oppression, and unless the Lord gives you a check, do something about it in Jesus' name, because you have the jurisdiction to do that. Amen? That's what we saw happen in Africa. And I, more than ever before, when I used to come back from Africa, I used to think, man, it's so intimidating to come back to the West, because culturally, we're just not at the same place of childlike faith corporately and culturally that they are. But for the first time in my life, I've been going for 22 years now. For the first time in my life, I've come back, and I don't feel intimidated at all. Because jurisdiction is jurisdiction. And the very next story, and it's there on purpose, Jesus congratulated that man's faith. He said, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. With the very next story, he goes into a city called Nain. And as he comes in, he bumps into a funeral processional. And there's a boy who's dead. And the mother doesn't ask him to pray, nothing. There's no faith at all. The the centurion had greater faith he had ever seen in all of Israel. But when he comes to this boy who's dead, nobody, the dead boy's not exercising any faith. The mom doesn't exercise any faith. But Jesus carried enough childlike faith and boldness and jurisdiction to do something about it. And I think that story is really important. Because you see, we can come back from Africa and go, I've never seen such faith like they have. No wonder we saw such cool stuff. But then the next story can say, but you know, I'm in Christ and I have enough faith. And I carry His jurisdiction and His ability in Jesus' name to do something about it. Whether they have a molecule of faith or not. So again, for the first time, I've come back not intimidated by the West already, because I've already begun to see things shifting and changing here. And now I'm more emboldened than ever before to go, okay, we're gonna crack this thing wide open. Summer of 2019. Amen. All righty. Well, that was a sermon story.